Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
A new week, a new uncensored podcast. And before we start with anything, Scott.
Yeah.
How's your face feeling?
It feels kind of gross. I feel as if I smell too closely to my upper lip. I get a little hint of queso.
Yum.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't like it at all. I'm waiting to go to the bathroom and actually use my face wash to try to scrub up my face a little bit. But I think it got in my nose, and I think it's going to be there for at least a day.
Yeah,
so if you missed our on-air show, Scott lost headphone karaoke this week. And so he had to give himself the queso facial this morning. And so you rubbed queso all over your face.
All over my face. And like everyone's writing in the comments on how like that is not good for your pores. And one thing about me, I'm not necessarily proud of it, but I just have huge pores.
Same.
Like just grand size pores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could like dunk a basketball on the pores. I hate that. It's
I
so
do too.
Awful.
I wish there was a way to get it smaller.
I've never heard anyone describe their pores in that way. So what I'm curious about, you know, because we've talked on the podcast about, you know, you're living at home with your dad and he's sort of, you know, seeing this up close, you know, what you do for a living now. Has he said anything about the queso on your face this morning?
I don't think he knows it happened yet because when I was in the kitchen, he was still, I think, showering or working out. And so luckily I was able to get in and get out before he walked in. What's funny is I can't always read how he's processing either what I'm talking about or if he's entertained. But then I guess he listens when he's in the bathroom to the show. And then you'll come out and be laughing about something. He'll be like, oh, well, Holly was right with that one. Or you sounded horrible. And had
Like, thanks. Great.
Yeah. But then in those cases, I'm like, oh, good. Like, at least he's, like, finding a little entertaining. Because half the time I'm sitting over here doing it, and I'm like, he's probably so annoyed. But then he's not because he's laughing in the other room, like, listening to stuff. So
that's okay. Our job. You know what? Then we've done our job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is our job.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm like, okay, cool. Like, he appreciates what I do because it's hard to get a grip of what the hell we do.
You know? Yes.
It is.
I think my family still doesn't quite understand. My mom gave up listening a long time ago. I actually had to go into her phone kind of secretly and take and unfollow Miguel and Holly. Too much.
You were like, no, we don't need all of that.
We don't. So that's good that he gets it.
When did your mom stop listening, Holly?
I don't know. Years ago.
Really? So, yeah. I mean, was she literally like, I can't hear you talk about these sort of things. Like, I got to be done.
Yeah.
Or was it the music? Was it that too much for her?
I honestly don't know because we never really talked about it.
It just happened.
It's just like one day she was telling someone what I did. Cause it's weird. Like, she'll still tell people what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like proud, but then she'll be like, well, I don't listen. So it's like an endorsement, but it's not. So like that's when I found out she doesn't listen, just by her being like, oh, I don't listen anymore. And I was like, okay. It may have even been like when we moved here to Tampa for the second time. I don't. And I mean, because she lived in Panama City when we were in Panama City the second time around. I think maybe she stopped listening around that time.
Wow.
It's been a very long time. I just think she couldn't take it anymore.
I wonder if it was when you had to drink your own breast milk.
Might have been it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think, was that a headphone karaoke challenge or a consequence or something? Or
yeah, I think it was. I had to drink my own. But yes, it was, because whoever lost headphone karaoke would have had to drink my breast milk.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't. Like, that would have been so awful if that were me.
It was probably a good thing that I lost that time.
Oh, my gosh.
Because even I was, like, super weirded out. I was like, why? Spoiler, it's not bad.
I heard it's really good for you.
It's super good for you, obviously. But it just kind of tasted like sweet water. I don't know. It didn't taste like anything crazy. I take a shot of it, and I'm sure there's a video somewhere.
I'm sure if you go through the Miguel and Holly Facebook page.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Like, your body produced something, and now you're drinking it. Like, that's
so cool.
It's something.
Oh, could you imagine, Scott, if we did that now and you lost and you had to drink Holly's breast milk?
I don't know how that would fly. I'm gonna be honest. I'm trying to think about certain things that are like, all right, what's pushing the limit? That would do it.
Yeah,
would be the one that's like,
I feel
not
like
okay
now, even it, like, back then it was one thing, but even it, like, in COVID times now, I feel like you couldn't do that.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, not right now with, you know, what everything we're dealing with.
Hey, I know we're trying to keep, you know, 6 feet apart and sanitary and stuff. Here, drink my breast milk. What is that? Yeah, that was a rough one. Although it was not, like I said, it was not by far the worst thing I've ever done, but it was definitely uncomfortable leading up to it.
Is there anything you miss about being pregnant? I mean, because I feel like that time was recent, but yet so long ago. Like, I saw the video you put up of you and Maya. I think you're at, like, a splash place or something.
Oh, we were at the zoo.
At the zoo.
Yeah.
And this is when I felt like an old person, because I was like, oh, my God, Maya's so big. I literally went back on your story to look and, like, zoom in and be like, oh, my gosh, she is turning into, like, a little human being.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It is, like, crazy.
This summer, she went from little girl to she's just a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird to me. I will look at her even now and be like, who are you? And what did you do with my little baby? Because you're not this baby anymore.
No.
It's a very weird thing to realize that it legit happened over, like, the course of a summer. I don't even, it, like, happened before your eyes, but then, like, when you do a thing, like, post a picture and you're just like,
wow.
Shit.
Right.
So it's weird. It is weird. I wish that, it's a weird life thing because I think it's probably pretty clear that I'm not going to have any more kids now. So that was, like, one and done. But then at the time, it's so, like, overwhelming and new, and you don't know if it's going to be the last time or not. So you don't really know to, like, be, you know, cataloging everything.
Right.
I will say what I do miss about that short time, because it is such a short time. At the time, it felt like it was like 17 years and a day. But what I miss is feeling like I was so purpose-driven for that time. You know, like, I had, like, one goal, basically. Like, yes, I also eventually started working again, and we had our goals and everything, but it just felt like it was like a higher calling. Like, it was a higher purpose, because my entire body had been taken, and it felt like an alien was in there. I mean, it really did, because, like, you have a whole other person inhabiting you, which is freaking weird. But it's like you're called to this higher purpose of, like, growing a human to perpetuate the human race. It's very existential and crazy.
Wow.
So, like, I miss stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
I miss this is selfish, but I don't think other pregnant women will tell you different. I miss feeling very, like, taken care of and pampered. Because, like, people treat pregnant women like, you know, you're so fragile and delicate. And so I miss that a little bit, because everybody will offer up a seat. Everybody will be, like, checking on you. Are you okay?
Right.
I didn't even know that I might not have been okay, because I probably should have accepted extra help. But I was like, no, I got it.
I'm fine.
Me and this kid, we got it. We're good. But, like, it was a very special time. So I miss that. What I don't miss is all of the craziness that goes along with it. You know, like, the random aches and pains, and, like, the fact that your body just continues to get bigger in shapes that you never knew.
Is that weird? Is that a weird part to see? Like, because I always wonder that when women, like, get just gigantic with this baby, is that weird to look at yourself and be like, like, you have to, like, wrap your head around, like, okay, it's a baby. I'm not, like, gigantic. It's a baby.
Yeah, you do. But at the same time, because in society, like, so much attention is paid to women's bodies, even pregnant ones from, like, celebrities, you're always thinking, like, oh, I'm so big. Like, we had this boss at the time who I think I had just, it was, like, early August. Maybe it was even late July. And I wasn't due until August 8th. And so it's, like, late July, and he's like, God, you're as big as a house. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do? Like,
yeah,
he's like, are you going to have that baby or what? It's like a full-grown toddler in there. And I was like, Jesus. So, like, that I don't miss. But it's very weird. It's like, I don't want to say body dysmorphia because that's a whole separate thing. Mm-hmm. But it is very weird to look at yourself, like, eight, you know, almost 9 months along and be like, well, you're just sort of along for the ride.
Right.
You're like, just taken over by this alien that's about to pop out. So, yeah, it's weird.
And it's been interesting lately because I feel like I'm in the second wave of friends that are either getting engaged or maybe, like, they had trouble having kids, and so they're either, like, adopting or they're on their, like, IVF journey. And it just, for some reason, maybe it's because of COVID and everyone's just been sitting around and they're like, what's the next phase of life? Because they have some time to think. But I have several friends that are in my age. So I'm 35. So my friends from high school and college, they're, like, 35, 36, or 34, and they're, like, making that next step. And it's just so weird where I can, like, feel the transition in life happening to, like, that next phase of it. And it's been really fascinating to watch. And then also having to have that conversation, you know, if we're going to do that sort of thing, you know, and we're not.
What would your next step be? Like, if you're visualizing, like, other people's next step, what is your next step?
I think for Abe and I think it's probably marriage. I would say also we want to either buy a house together or build a house together. So just sort of figuring out what that looks like and really sort of combining our finances to make that happen. Because like I got a new car a few weeks ago and he paid half of the down payment. And like that was really weird for me at first because it was like, I do this on my own. Like, my life has been like, it's me against the world and I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it happen. And so, like, as we were headed to the car dealership and, you know, he like grabbed some cash and was like, well, you know, I'll just pay half. And it was just like we were making the decision together about the car. And it wasn't like, well, this is Miguel's car. It's like our car. And like as we were at the dealership and we were talking about, you know, why we wanted that specific car. And, you know, we were talking about his truck that he uses for his painting business. And like, this is our car to like travel in. And it was a bunch of hours. And it was just like very surreal making that decision and that conversation at the car dealership. And that's when it was like, oh, my God, we're like moving into that next stage of a relationship. And it's like really weird.
Yeah. But that's great, though. Like, those are weird, but cool. Growing, not pains, growing, whatever. I don't know what you would say.
Like a benchmark, maybe?
Yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, stages, yeah.
Stages.
Yeah, and so we are figuring all of that out now. So I think, like, our next stage is, like, we've had this app basically since we dated because we started because we knew we wanted to travel a lot together. And so we've been, like, it's this app called Q Capital, which I've talked about before.
Yeah.
And we both like contribute to like our vacation fund, but like it's very separate. Like you see what I saved, what he saved. And so we always know if we need to pay for something like a vacation or a plane ticket, we just use that money. And now we're going to open up a checking account together to start saving for this house. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he had surgery last week, like, I was the contact, like, the main contact. And then, like, his parents had to call me to get updates on what was going on.
Wow.
And it was just like, how am I an old person? Like, how am I an adult? Like, how is this adulting right now? It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really interesting to sort of get to this next level of a relationship and then sort of trying to figure out, you know, like, what's next.
I get it. Because everyone's looks different.
Right.
But there are some milestones that, like, you know, that happen that are sort of universal. So I'm excited for you. And you decided no kids.
Yeah. I mean, I said that if we did, it would be like we would adopt, you know, like 5, 6 or something like that around that age range. Because I just don't think that I would be good with the baby.
Like, yeah, I can't see you really handling a toddler or a baby. not so far with your patience level that I've seen. But hey, anything's possible. But
you don't think I have a lot of patience, Scott?
No, after living with you now for like a year, you need your space and your time, and you like things done in a very particular way.
Yes.
I feel like, not from experience of myself, but I feel like kids could kind of throw that around a little bit.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah, that's it.
That would be the hardest part. I mean, Abe and I talked about it, and he was like, you would be the bitch parent. Like, literally,
kids, I know some of these parents.
Yeah, he was like, they would hate you, like literally, and like, but then once they got older, they would be like, oh my God, I'm so glad he taught me all these lessons. I know how to do things now.
As they're in therapy talking about their traumas from their childhood. Yes, they would thank you eventually.
Yeah, but while going through it, I would be an absolute terror. Like, I would be like, it needs to be this way.
Okay, well, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't, instead of you go through the whole that, just why don't y'all take Maya every now and then for like an afternoon?
We were actually, because we were planning on doing that
before COVID happened.
But I absolutely, I'd love to be able to spend time with her, like take her to the bookstore or.
Yeah, I think the more people that she spends time with, the better, obviously.
Right.
It gives me some time. But also it helps her diversify her worldview. And it's interesting, actually, I meant to tell you about this. I forgot until right now. So the other night when we were going to bed, because long story short, I had to recently explain to her how two women had twins because someone in our circle, woman and her wife, mm-hmm. just had twins.
Mm-hmm.
So she loves babies. And so she's looking at the pictures of the new babies and she's all excited. And as we kind of walk away from the rest of the family, she was like, so I don't understand how did they... Don't they need a boy? I was like, that is an excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes, they do.
Yes.
So we went over that whole thing, and she really seemed to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would say that was about a month ago. And then, like, probably last week, we're going to bed, and she was like, okay, so I understand how two women can have a baby, but what if it's two guys?
Oh.
I was like,
and
let me tell you, that is actually trickier to explain than two women.
Right.
Because with, like, just the state of childbirth,
mm-hmm.
it's a woman doing the birth.
Right.
So
right.
at least, like, it's if you've ever had to go through this with your kid, it's easier to explain two women than it is to explain two men.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, it was. So then we had to launch into, I'm like... Okay, because she understands gay now, by the way. Because the other day she's like, do you know? I know 4 gay people.
Oh.
I was like, all right. She's like, Miguel,
uh-huh.
Uncle Miguel, Abe,
uh-huh.
roommate Dylan.
Yeah.
Five. And then like the two women that just had the twins. I'm like, girl, you get it.
Look at that. Come on, girl.
She's like, are there any other gay people? I'm like, oh, girl, there's a whole bunch.
Yes.
And I was like, you actually know more than you think you do. Or maybe you forgot that you met them one time or whatever. But anyway, so back to, so I'm like, okay. So let's say Uncle Miguel and Abe wanted to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, so. So I'm like,
I can't wait to hear how you explain it.
I was like, keep in mind, she just turned 7. So I'm like, okay, so, well, first you should know there's lots of options.
Mm-hmm.
I said, first and foremost, they could simply adopt a child, which is, you know, and we kind of did a brief touch on what adoption means. And I think she understands what adoption, maybe she, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was like, that's option one.
Right.
I go, then there's this other option.
Oh, did you try?
I really tried.
Did you try to explain surrogacy?
Yes.
Ah!
I'm like, okay, so.
Wait, because does she even understand, like, sperm and an egg?
Because I had to explain to her what sex is when she was 5.
Oh, my gosh.
Because some someone on her father's side of the family said something to her about how where babies come from and how babies get made when he was on a trip to Panama City. And she came home at age 5 being like, so-and-so said something about where babies come from, and I'm really confused.
Oh,
and I was like...
Oh, goodness.
Thanks.
Like, oh, great.
Way to
great.
Just bring that out and leave it to me to pick up the pieces, which I did, by the way, very skillfully, I might add, because I researched it. I actually talked to my child psychologist friend that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So we had the very first sex conversation. I didn't even say sex. I said where babies come from.
Right.
When she was 5.
Oh, my gosh.
If wow. you can believe that.
5 years old and she's like. Yeah. Trying to understand.
Grapple with where children come from. Not the stork. They don't just magically appear in a mommy's tummy.
Right.
Oh.
So it was very tough. But now I'm actually very thankful that that happened because if you're a parent, by the way, and if you're struggling, this is unsolicited advice. The earlier the better. I don't know if I would do it. I don't even know if it's comprehensible before the age of 5.
Right.
And my kid happens to be very... advanced when it comes to just knowledge of things. Like, you have to know your own particular kid. Some kids at 5 are very still, like, immature mentally, and I would not have gone down this route if that was my kid.
Right.
My kid happens to be very inquisitive, asks very detailed questions, is curious, like, talks in a way that shows me her mind is at a different level.
So how did you end up explaining to her surrogacy?
So I was like, again, and you asked if she knew what like sperm and egg meant. Mm-hmm. She does.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped immensely. So again, if you're a parent, the sooner the better, and you use terms like vagina. Mm. I know it's more awkward for you than it is for them. They have no idea what, you know, those connotations mean. That's just what you call it. So I would recommend doing it that way. I looked up, it's, you know, per the Pediatrics Association. So she knows about the basics about sex. And now she knows about how two women could potentially have twins. So I said, let's say Uncle Miguel and Abe wanted to have a baby.
Oh.
They need a woman. There has to be a woman involved somewhere because men cannot have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that was hilarious for a second. She's like, but what if they could? Could you just see Abe? I'm like, no. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But back
I mean,
track.
Listen, you can always show her that movie Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger from back in the day and Emma Thompson where he did get pregnant.
We don't want to confuse her.
I remember watching that when I was like Thanksgiving Day. My mom and I, we lived in Denver. That was our tradition.
Yeah.
Is we would go watch a movie and we watched that. And I was like so tickled by it when I was younger.
It is such a thing that kids think is hilarious. Because you have to understand, there's still like, you do want to teach them obviously that different things exist than just like what we've all grown up with,
right.
But they still need a base in like, here's how nature works.
Right. Right.
So I go, you need a woman. So I was like this woman, it could be someone could be a friend or could be a stranger or someone who's willing to carry the baby.
Right.
So this woman is called a surrogate. And so they would either take one of her eggs or an egg from someone else. It started to get real complex. And I'm like, I think I'm oversharing. And I'm like, Jesus, because you don't want to you don't want to leave them with more questions.
Right.
So I'm like, you need an egg and you need a woman.
Right.
Now, you also need a sperm. Mm-hmm. So that would either come from Uncle Miguel or Abe. They would make that decision. And then... the sperm and the egg come together inside that other woman, and she carries the baby. And when she gives birth to the baby, she gives it to Uncle Miguel and Abe. And she was like, I have no idea what you just said. I was like, you know, that's okay. That is confusing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's very complex, but that's the basics. We'll have more conversations on it later. It's a lot for a child to wrap their head around it, especially like it's one thing maybe if you can see it happening where she could like with the moms and the twins,
mm-hmm.
it's like there you can visualize it and it's easier to kind of follow along.
Right.
Whereas it's all sort of theory when you're trying to give it to a kid about surrogacy. And so I did my best.
Not, you know what? That's probably best that anybody could explain it to a 7-year-old.
Right. I
when
tried.
You're trying to explain that.
And she, like, at the end of the day, she just like, I don't get it.
And she's like, all right, whatever. Can we watch Moana?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I don't get it. So anyway, let me tell you about this nightmare I had. I'm like, oh, okay. That's fine. So that's how that went.
Oh, good. Scott, have y'all talked about how many kids you and Mary want?
We have. I mean, we've always kind of been around the same number, around like 2 or 3. I like that idea of it. You know, I think it's just you kind of go off of what, like, for me, I go off of what I know. So I know, you know, me and my brother. Mm. I like the structure of my household growing up. Wasn't too bad. I'd also be down to have another one, 3. And then she came, like, her family's gigantic. Mm. She has a bunch of brothers and sisters. So I think we both stopped at the number about 3. That's the cap.
How many brothers and sisters does she have?
She has 5.
Wow. Mm. How come we don't ever see the other ones on her? So I really only thought she had the one brother.
Well, they're all, like, I mean, they're grown. They're all over in Land O'Lakes. So they have, you know, their own families and stuff. And then her youngest brother
that must be the
still
one
in law school. Yeah, that's the one that you probably see the most recently. Yeah,
I got you.
Wow. Now, you told us that you got your first negative COVID test on Friday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got Saturday.
Sunday, yesterday, I got the first. I think, yeah, it was yesterday. I got my first negative test result back. That was yesterday.
So do you feel better? Do you feel any symptoms still?
I feel fine. Like, I really do. I think it just kind of reaffirms that I feel fine that I got a negative test. But I feel fine. I do still feel weird not putting a mask on. Like, not obviously not, like, while I'm out in public. I always do. But, like, just around the house, in the car with my dad, I still wear my mask. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't feel right, and it's just so much to risk for all of that going on. So I'm going to get another test to make sure it's still negative, but even then I still feel weird. I think it's just once I've had it, now I'm like, I feel like I just always have it. Like, I feel like anything I touch is going to have it. It's a weird kind of feeling because I don't feel like the negative is just like washing it away.
Right.
I don't know.
So is our company policy you have to have 2 negative tests before you come back?
Yeah, I have to have 2. And then also have waited a like a 14-day out of the office, something like that.
Are
I'm just going off the
not, two. Have you not fulfilled that already?
No, yeah. No, okay. I definitely have.
Because I was
but
about to.
Now I have to get the 2 negative tests. I haven't even told boss man Will yet about the negative because I'm like, I'm just going to get 2 before I even put that on him to start that process of coming back.
I mean, I do give our company credit for wanting to stay very proactive and you know, on guard about this. But I feel like there's, like, people in restaurants and folks handling your food and your other stuff that are not at this standard.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Like, we're, like, when you go anywhere and people, like, talk, I just don't get it. They'll take off their mask and they'll start talking to you. And I'm like, no. You know, and I literally said it to my dad yesterday. I was like, you know what it feels like? It feels like somebody takes out a gun and kind of points it at you. Like, as soon as they take down their mask and start talking, I'm like, like, although for me, I'm very lucky that it didn't, like, wipe me out. Like, I was sick for a good couple of days and then, you know, started getting over it. But, you know, you get hit with it wrong or you get a stronger strand of it, that's going to knock you on your butt.
Yeah.
And it's some pretty strong stuff. And it's just crazy to me that people are so just willy-nilly with it that they're just willing to, you know, pull down their mask, talk to you, go in a store and not wear one at all. I'm like, y'all, like, you are just threatening everyone in here.
But there are people that literally believe that it doesn't exist.
That's just,
or
I just,
if it does, it's like, who cares?
Right.
And it's a very odd feeling that we're living in this place. I wonder if this happened in, like, 1918 with the Spanish influenza.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure. Yeah, because they had to force people to wear masks then, too.
And I'm sure that people were like, I say, good sir, I shall not be putting on this facial covering.
Right. And you would think that because we have advanced and we understand more about science, that would make people be a little bit more cautious. But no. Nothing.
It kind of goes back to that, the documentary, The Social Dilemma, where it's like our brains are still, like, from the Stone Age.
Right.
Never mind how fast technology moves. We can't handle it.
No. And you can tell. I am curious, though. Oh, my gosh. I was about to say something. Oh, I hate when that happens and it just left
me. Was it COVID related?
It was not. Well, I think what I was going to say about that is this weekend, I think, was the first time that I had my, like, my FOMO started to, like, flare back up. Because I've been pretty good about, you know, we've been to a couple of restaurants here and there. Like, we did go to brunch to a restaurant Saturday morning, but we were there like when they opened the door, so there was like nobody there. There were only like two other tables there, so we had our brunch. We were there for an hour, and then we got out like around 12:30 before the like big brunch crowd came in. But like as I'm looking through people's social media, and so like the clubs are back open, the bars are open now.
Oh,
and
that's
So I saw some people out this weekend.
Yeah.
And like I haven't had, like I've obviously wanted to go, but I'm like, well, I'll wait till things are better. But this was like the first weekend that I had that inkling of like, I just want to like take a shower, get an Uber, go to Ybor, have a nice fresh drink and one of those plastic cups at Bradley's and just see where the night takes us. But what scares me about going out at this point is if I get drunk and we're out, how am I going to keep my mask on? If I have to go to the bathroom at the bar, if we see some people that we haven't seen since last year or the beginning of this year, and we're like, hey, and then you go to hug because you're drunk. And I'm like, I just don't know if I trust myself to go out to in that capacity, like maybe to like, you know, happy hour on a Friday night for a little bit for, you know, the first hour before the crowd gets in, just to experience being in a bar. But then I go back to like, is it really worth it to do that? It's just it's hard.
Not even like for me when I think about it, like what I get so frustrated about is, you know, you can do everything right. And in my case, like I did. People were traveling, you know, and I took a chance to go see family, and I traveled, and I did everything I could possibly do to be safe. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the people that you're surrounded with, and if you're going to a bar, going to a place, and I'm not saying not to, I'm just saying to always keep it in consideration that there are going to be you're going to be mind blown at just how many people, as soon as they get in that environment, it's like everything just went away. You know, you get into that room, and people are like, I don't need a mask right now. Nobody, and you're going to see, because I felt this when I went traveling, as soon as you see like nobody else is wearing a mask, you take yours off. Like I saw that at the wedding. I was like, well, you know, people are comfortable. Let me just go ahead and take my mask off. And you're going to feel weird putting your mask on, because it's going to feel like everybody's eyes are on you of like, why are you wearing that? And that I guarantee you that's what the bar scene is going to be like, because as soon as you start drinking, I have a drink. I'm allowed to put my mask down. Yeah, but now you're talking to your friends in your small circle. Bam, bam, bam. It's hard to kind of maneuver it, but the reality is you could be as safe as possible and you could walk out of there and the next day you're going to be like, ooh, I don't feel too good.
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing about it.
Well, so I got a lot of decisions to make on exactly what we're going to do, because it's like and then like you feel trivial because, you know, there are people that are like, you know, immune compromised where they can't do anything and they can't go anywhere, and here I am like, I just want to go to a bar and have a drink, and they're like, bitch, I just want to go to the grocery store, but if I do, my asthma is gonna cause me to get coronavirus easily and be very painful for me. So it's just such a weird time, and I wish there was another phrase I could use instead of weird.
No, it's just weird. It's 2020 is crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, we are done up in this piece. Please make sure to leave us a review. And I got a lot of people in the Miguel and Holly fam that have reached out over the past week to get some Miguel and Holly stickers. So those will be in the mail. If you want one, you can always shoot me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com, with your name and your address. Scott, what's all of your social media information?
All of it is at Scott Tavlin. S-C-O
T-T-T-A-V-L-I-N. How close are you to 10,000 on Instagram?
I think I'm about like 500 away.
Oh, let's see if we can get that before the end of the year so you can finally swipe up.
That's the goal. I need that now.
I always feel so bad when Scott shares something from the Miguel and Holly Insta and he's like, well, you can't swipe up on mine, but you can click on that and go there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Poor thing. Holly,
let's get you up there.
What's your social media?
Mine is Radio Holly, and on Instagram, I've been sitting at 19.4K. for like 5 months now.
Oh.
So nothing happens at 20, but I would just like to get there. Because I'm petty. So anyway, Radio Holly on Instagram, also TikTok and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat. And make sure to follow us, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.